708 at Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP. Good morning. Brian Haldane here with you for another hour. Taylor Sharp producing. Thanks again to Franz Borghardt for stepping in last hour. Thanks again to Jacob Hester for stepping in last hour for sports. If you missed any of that, it'll be available at talk1073.com a little bit later on this morning. Still to come on the show, State Representative Tanner McGee out of Houma. He was the guy who put forth the legislation that is taking funds that were unused from the Deepwater Horizon settlement and moving them over to some infrastructure projects. One of those infrastructure projects, this Highway 415 connector over in Port Allen. It basically connects 415 over to Highway 1, which, if you know the area, you know that is sorely, sorely needed. Representative McGee was also instrumental in the Uber and Lyft going statewide. So we'll talk to him about that and a couple of his other wins and a few things that he still didn't get done during this last legislative session. 735, we're talking with Congressman Garrett Graves. On the docket for that, U.S. Representative Garrett Graves helped secure $255 million in federal funding nearly a year ago from the Army Corps of Engineers for drainage work. Last Thursday, I don't think we saw any ROI. So we're going to be talking with Garrett Graves at the bottom of this hour. Right now, though, we start the hour with Top Stories and Trending.
Now, Top Stories and Trending, keeping you informed on the stories people will be talking about today. Number 5.
Got another business closing downtown, another restaurant, actually, Magpie Cafe, closing one of their locations. According to their posts on social media, the downtown location on Laurel Street shut it down on Friday. Here's what they had to say. Quote, "We're so grateful to the community for the support it's shown since we opened the downtown cafe doors almost 3 years ago. We feel that a business and brand is a living, breathing entity. As such, there's expansion and contraction. Now in 2019, consolidation is the best way to provide the best experience to our team and our customers."
Number 4.
Police are still looking for two men after an armed robbery at a jewelry store near the Mall of Louisiana last month. Take you back to May 8th. BRPD was called out to the Jared Galleria of Jewelry on Bluebonnet at around 9 p.m. in response to an armed robbery. Authorities say two male suspects entered the store, stole loose diamonds. They fled the scene in a white SUV. According to a search warrant affidavit, the suspects made off with 91 items, an estimated $577,159.84. Officials called those items, quote, loose diamonds and other diamonds.
Number 3.
Police are investigating a double shooting that occurred while two victims were sitting in a parked car. The incident happened Tuesday night on Ritterman Avenue at Addison Street. Authorities report that two victims were shot while sitting in a vehicle that was parked in a driveway of a home. Both victims received non-life-threatening injuries and are expected to survive. The shooting is still under investigation.
Number 2.
Over to St. Tammany Parish, where reports say former St. Tammany Parish Sheriff Jack Strain has been arrested on charges of aggravated rape, aggravated incest, and indecent behavior with a juvenile. Strain was apparently arrested by sheriff's deputies as he left his house Tuesday. The investigation started with a kickback scheme last year. It stemmed into a whole new investigation concerning sex crimes. That investigation reportedly revealed two employees of a work release program run by Strain's office who claimed he sexually abused them. At least four accusers have come forward since, alleging abuse over the course of decades.
Number 1.
A trial that led to the discovery of a huge flaw in the EBR jury selection process is in limbo once again. KTBS out of Shreveport reports that Grover Cannon's trial, which was scheduled to start in Caddo Parish Monday, is back on hold. The holdup comes after the state Supreme Court overturned a district judge's decision to bring jury selection back to Caddo after it had already been moved to EBR due to fears it could lead to an unfair trial. The Louisiana Supreme Court had ordered a new trial and jury pool for Cannon in April after concerns were raised by Cannon's attorney. It revealed a computer bug in the East Baton Rouge jury selection. Basically, anyone who turned 18 or moved to Baton Rouge in the past 8 years had been left off the jury pool for years. Cannon faces a potential death sentence in the 2015 murder of Shreveport police officer Thomas LaValle. That's a look at your top stories, presented by DaleBuysHousesNow.com. You can turn that ugly house into cash with DaleBuysHousesNow.com. Dale buys any house in any condition. You can check them out online at DaleBuysHousesNow.com. You can call them at 291-8000. And if you're wondering if your home fits in what Dale is looking for, I'm just going to say yes, it does. Because it does. Any house, any condition, and it's not just houses. Duplex, apartment complex, trailer park, commercial property. Doesn't matter if it's damaged. Check out DaleBuysHousesNow.com. Look, we're coming up on 3 years since the big flood, right? Not last Thursday's flood, but the big flood in 2016. We're about 3 years removed from it. If you still got damage from that, It's worth your time to check out DaleBuysHousesNow.com. Or if you've just got a house you've been trying to sell and it's not moving, he's your answer there as well. DaleBuysHousesNow.com. That's a look at your top stories. Here's a look at what's trending. U.S. Women's National Team posted up 13 goals on Thailand. Is it good sportsmanship? Coming up at 8 o'clock this morning, Brian Kilmeade on the Brian Kilmeade Show. Kilmeade tweeted just a little while ago, I think it was bad sportsmanship for the women to score 13 goals yesterday in the World Cup. I'm not into running up scores. What say you? Kilmeade's going to be talking about this at 8 o'clock this morning. And what's your feedback? His phone number is 866-408-7669 if you want to chime in on that. Is it bad sportsmanship to run up 13 goals in the World Cup? I mean, this isn't like youth soccer. I'm not talking about a six-year-old kid. I'm not talking about 10-year-olds.
What do you want them to do, not score?
Well, I mean, yeah, at a certain point, it's not like football where you can just take a knee. I mean, you want them kicking it in the stands? Send home suit?
Let the people in the stands come play.
That would work, too. I'm sure there were a few Americans in the stands. You're not going to let the Thai play for the American team, though.
Yeah, that might be biased.
Yeah, that'd be a little bit off-kilter. All right, 714 to Talk 107.3 FM. We're going to check traffic, and then we're checking in with Home Estate Representative Tanner McGee next. Voice guys paid by the word. 718 to Talk 107.3 WBRP. Good morning, everybody. Brian Haldane here with you. Got a Congressman Garrett Graves coming your way at 735. Right now, though, we've been doing a little post-mortem on the legislative session as it wrapped up last Thursday. A lot of good work came out of that session. A lot of wasted time came out of this session, but a lot of good work came out of that session as well. And we've been trying to look at some of those things that are going to affect our day-to-day lives. One guy whose name keeps popping up as like the rock star of the session is HOMA Representative Tanner McGee. Almost removed you from Terrebonne Parish here for a second. Tanner, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
No, glad to have you on here. Okay, so your name popped up a lot this session, man. It's like everything you touch turned to gold. What got into you?
I got lucky more than anything else. No, I think we had some good ideas, and we found the right partners in the Senate and in the House to put teams together to kind of accomplish some stuff.
All right, the biggest thing that I think that you did is the infrastructure bill, or moving Deepwater Horizon Fund dollars to the Transportation Trust Fund to take care of a number of projects around the state. What brought that about?
We had been trying in Terrebonne and Lafourche to try and fund LA1's elevation project for a number of years. This has been elected, actually. And we hadn't really hit on the right formula. And we started looking at different kind of funding structures, and we started looking at what the Deepwater Horizon economic damages were being used for, which was just replenish stuff that had been raided in the past. Mm-hmm. And Mississippi had used this money for infrastructure, and Alabama had used this money for infrastructure. And so I thought, well, this makes more sense, to take these dollars and try and rebuild the economy with it. So we moved it from those areas. Originally LA1, at the same time, Baton Rouge started having really bad problems with the 415 connect, 415 in West Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
And so I started engaging the reps and Senator Rick Ward on maybe realize there was more money in this for other projects. Started talking to Rick, and he liked the idea. I got him on board. And then after we filed the bill, started moving through the House and to the Senate, we started identifying other projects around the state that also were in the same spot, and we decided to try and take all the money over and comply to projects.
So when doing this, obviously it's going to benefit Louisiana. Obviously this is something that we've desperately needed. But was there any hesitation here that once Louisiana, John Kennedy has always said this best, Louisiana is an absolute addict when it comes to spending money that's just there. So is there any hesitation that this sets a precedent to where we just blow out pots of money to spend it wherever we feel like it?
You know, I understand the sentiment, but I think that the idea is that this is really more about investing dollars than just spending it. I think in the past what we've done is taken pots of money like the Medicaid Trust Fund or the Budget Stabilization Fund and just plugged it into the general budget. And then that money is basically just spent and wasted. We're here, we're taking it, identifying some needs and investing it and getting some return for our money. So I think it's actually a pretty smart way of looking at it.
Aside from Highway 1 and the 415 connector, what else are we looking at that this money is going to be used for?
I-49 South, I-49 North. We've also replacing a ferry in Cameron Parish that's for their port, the LNG port that they That's kind of our biggest economic driver right now, and they need a new ferry. It's kind of worn out. Some cranes in the port of New Orleans are also being purchased to help facilitate the economic development of that area. And then up in St. Tammany Parish, they had this original time project, as we call it, the capital, which is basically an old project we've been still paying for a really long time. It's one of two that haven't been completed from the Romer administration. And so we're going to finally finish that project as well.
What's inside that project?
I think it's Highway 3125, and it's a road that had been promised and it was put into the time project back in the 80s, and we, for whatever be the reason, haven't been able to complete it. And we also took $40 million, and we put it into what we're calling the Roads and Bridge, Rural Roads and Bridges Fund. Mm-hmm. So kind of areas that are not in urban centers or around urban centers will also have some bridges replaced that are in need.
So did this bill just walk the whole way through, or was there any significant objection to it?
No, it didn't walk the whole way through. The whole time we were trying to make sure that the money went to true economic investment needs and not just road overlays where, the return on investment wasn't very high. And look, everybody wants to bring back a project to their district.
Sure.
So it was really about identifying those projects and also keeping the lesser projects. I mean, they're all needy, but we want stuff that gives us a good bang for our buck and make sure we had those projects in kind of fighting off the ones that were less deserving, I should say. And that was really a battle. I mean, that was through the House and through the Senate to keep it that way.
Well, and it seems that's the battle every single time someone talks about roads in this state, is that everybody's got their hand out and everybody has their need and nobody wants to let somebody else go first.
Right.
So,
and I think that's probably still one of the issues we're funding. We still had complaints about that kind of throughout the process. And I think at the end of the day, we were lucky to finally get a nice sheet that got by. And I think if you saw, too, in the original Senate version before the floor, we had identified the Jimmy Davis Bridge funding in Shreveport, but the delegation there decided that they would rather invest that money into the I-49 North. There was changes throughout the process, and I mean that was kind of part of the negotiation discussion.
State Representative Tanner McGee from HOMA is our guest this morning, knocking out a lot of legislation this past session. Before we close the book on the infrastructure projects, have you been given any kind of timeline as to how they move forward, or are you done with it? The legislation's done, so the legislator is done.
No, I mean, I think the important thing is to try and stay on the OTD and make sure that they start moving, doing their part of this. I mean, that's part of the public trust piece of this. If they don't see the projects happening, they're going to not trust us to do anything, and I think that's part of the problem. So I'm committed to staying on top of it and making sure these projects get started.
Excellent. All right, shifting gears now, but we're still keeping it on the roads, if you will. DOTD is now in the process of establishing the rules to the issuance of permits for the statewide framework for rideshare services like Lyft and Uber. This was part of your work as well, correct?
Yes.
What went into this one?
Well, I've been trying for a couple of years, actually, to do this. Terrebonne and other areas of the state do not have Uber and Lyft, and the reason why is Uber and Lyft did not want to have every parish or every local municipality having their own set of regulations. Every 44 other states did a statewide plan, and that allowed for the entire to have Uber and Lyft across the state, no matter where you were, take all the geofencing down. And we tried the two previous years, and we didn't get across the finish line, mainly because of the city of New Orleans and the taxi cab and lobbyists, I guess, had been successful in killing it. And this year we came back and we made some tweaks. For some reason, before I authored it, we had the Department of Ag as the regulator, and a lot of legislators had problems with that. So we moved it to DOTD. That brought a lot of people on board. And we really just kept working it. And again, I got Senator Ward to co-author it, and that's where it had died in this committee the previous 2 years. And so with him as the co-author, it was able to get out of committee and get on the Senate floor and pass.
And this bill, I'm a big fan of this bill because we needed it, because there are so many opportunities. There are only so many opportunities for Uber and Lyft when you're limited from parish to parish, especially, like, let's say in your backyard in Terrebonne Parish, there's a lot of transfer back and forth between, like, let's say, Jefferson Parish. So you can't keep crossing back and forth between parish lines and having different rules from one side to the other, just not being allowed on one side of the parish line while being allowed on the other. So a little uniformity here goes a long way. What kind of support? Go ahead.
No, that's a great point you brought up. And I think also we had a problem called dead rides where, you know, if you were in East Baton Rouge Parish and you took an Uber out to West Baton Rouge Parish, you couldn't get back. That's a problem, and this bill solves that.
Yeah, and then I would assume, and I don't know if there were exceptions for the airport, but the same would be true in Jefferson Parish, the New Orleans airport is in Jefferson Parish, not in Orleans Parish, and Jefferson had different rules than Orleans, so that kind of a big deal. What kind of opposition did you get along the way with this one? I know you said you've tried this one in the past. Has opposition gotten, like, louder and smaller, or just you found a way to beat it?
I think the public outcry, I think people had heard back in their districts complaints that they didn't have access to. Some of the people who had been against it back in their own districts were starting to feel the heat on it a little bit. I think that helped. I think making some tweaks and changes to a couple of the pieces of legislation also made it sail through. But I mean, part of it was just beating back the opposition and outmaneuvering them, you know, kind of at the end of the day.
State Representative Tanner McGee is our guest. Got just another minute or so with the representative. Okay, so the session ended Thursday, and it doesn't look like there's no call for a special session or anything, which thank goodness for that. But are you already looking ahead towards next session? Like, what are you working on next? Or is it just back to life for a little while?
It might be back to life. I don't know if I can top this past session. I think I might just be on the downhill.
No, the session's like football, man. There is no off season.
That's right. Right now it's kind of, I'm driving to the chamber meeting. It's going to be meeting with people, calling over, giving reviews of what we did. And after that's over, it's kind of reassessing and trying to find legislative priorities. And probably in between time, start looking at also running my reelection campaign.
Oh, yeah, you might want to knock that out, too. Yeah, don't want to skip past that one. State Representative Tanner McGee, I appreciate the time this morning, man. Let's talk soon.
No, thank you.
All right, bro. Thanks. Bye. Coming up on 7:30 at Talk 107.3 FM, we got CBS News in 1 minute. We got Congressman Garrett Graves after we take our news break at the bottom of the hour. That's my first time talking to Tanner McGee. He's got his head screwed on right, because it does raise the question about opening Pandora's box. And we've heard John Kennedy say it for years about Louisiana's addiction to spending. And this is just another avenue to do it. But, you know, if you set up specific parameters and we're all on the same page that this was needed, well, okay. It is smart spending. And this is, they're all projects that once they're finished, you're not feeding off them in perpetuity. So I think that's probably the bigger point when it comes to this. Thanks to Tanner McGee. If you missed any of it, it'll be available at talk1073.com a little bit later on this morning. We've got Congressman Garrett Graves coming your way in 5 minutes. But right now, though, we're coming up on 7:31, which means it's time for us to take a listen to CBS News, and then we'll check in locally. You're listening to Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP. 7:37 at Talk 107.3 FM, WBRP. Brian Haldane here with you. Good morning, everybody. We are joined right now by our congressman, Garrett Graves, steps in. Garrett, good morning. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. How are you, Brian?
I couldn't be better. Okay, we got a couple of issues that I want to talk about locally, but I want to start with something on a national level that drew everyone's attention yesterday, and that was Jon Stewart's very impassioned testimony. So I want to start off with asking where you are on the 9/11 Victims Fund.
I think any time you have disaster victims, or especially in a scenario like this where you have first responders, we've got to make sure that we're standing up and helping and protecting them. Obviously, those folks didn't think twice about their own safety, about their own health. They went straight to the disaster and helped to rescue fellow Americans. And I think you've got to keep that in mind. I think you've got to hold those people in incredibly high regard. And we need to continue providing health benefits. Look, let's be clear. I think it's always appropriate for us to take a fresh look at the legislation to make sure that it's achieving its goals. But in terms of supporting those folks, I fully support it. Let me point out one thing, Brian. Just personally, I was thinking a little bit about it yesterday. You know, so here you have folks that are continuing to discover and sort of uncover adverse health effects as a result of some of the exposure they experienced from 9/11.
Yeah.
And under this legislation, they're going to be able to continue to get help. You compare that to the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, and under that agreement, if folks didn't identify some type of health concern within, I want to say it was like 2 years' time, but it was a very short period of time, they were ineligible for assistance. And that disparity really just struck me because I'm aware of a number of responders to the Deepwater Horizon disaster that believed that they had health care consequences, including people that ended up getting cancer and passing away.
Interesting comparison. I would not have even connected those two dots. So, yeah, that does bring up a very good point. While we're talking about since you mentioned Deepwater Horizon, we just got done talking with State Representative Tanner McGee from HOMA. And I want to get your take on this real quick because you have a background with coastal restoration. Some of that Deepwater Horizon money, because of the last legislative session, some of that money is now going to infrastructure projects around the state. As someone with a background in coastal restoration, do you have a problem with money being diverted that would have otherwise been used for coastal restoration?
No, look, we actually negotiated that settlement, and I think it's really important to put things in context. So there was an economic part of the settlement, and Brian, just the whole thought behind it was that the state of Louisiana lost tax revenue because of the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. We had fewer visitors, we had less economic activity in different sectors because the oil spill shut down the energy industry, and again, so there were tourism impacts and restaurant and hotel impacts, recreational and commercial fishing impacts, all those things. So the state did lose tax revenue, sales tax and income tax revenue as a result. So as part of our negotiation, we included funds to replace the tax revenue the state would have otherwise received. So these are funds that are designed that would have otherwise gone to the state legislature for them to decide which government functions those funds would be dedicated to. So it is entirely within the jurisdiction, I think it's entirely appropriate for the legislature to do what they did in regard to dedicating these to road projects. There are billions of dollars in other funds that are required to be spent on restoration and cannot be diverted. But these, again, are funds that are simply replacing funds that the Treasury would have received. The one concern I have with how this was done is that it once again was done in more of a political process rather than using some type of metrics-based system to ensure that the best projects are being funded. That being said, the 415 project on the west side, the LA1 project, those are both projects that have a lot of merit and I've had a chance to do a good bit of work on over the years.
As does I-49. And you talk about I-49 north of Shreveport. It's very easy to say, well, this is a disaster that happened off the Gulf Coast. Why is the farthest north part of Louisiana getting dollars? And I guess the answer would be that's just not how tax dollars work.
Well, it's really hard to try and say that, you know, this percentage of the money was attributable to activities in this parish or that parish. Look, the entire state suffered economic consequences as a result of the Deepwater Horizon disaster, and I think it was entirely within the legislature's purview to do what they did. I registered my one concern about how it was done, but these are otherwise tax dollars that would have gone to the state.
I got a user on our app wants me to ask you why we still don't have restore money. Are there any updates there?
Yeah, actually, the state, I guess.
You're probably going to need more info.
Little confusing. So there are restore funds associated with the oil spill, and those funds actually are flowing, not as quickly as we'd like, but they are flowing, and they are going toward restoration projects in the state. There's restore funds associated with the Deepwater Horizon flood. The August 2016 flood.
Right.
Those funds of the $1.7 billion in federal funds we secured for the state, I believe they've spent $1.1 billion maybe, and I can double-check that figure and get it to you today. But they have spent the majority of the funds, substantial money still in the bank. Part of that has to do with duplication of benefits within the federal government, and part of it is just attributable to bureaucracy at both the state and federal level.
Speaking of bureaucracy, if I could shift gears here real quick. Last Thursday, we saw some nasty flash flooding throughout Baton Rouge. And it just brought up once again the drainage problems we have in and around this city. As I understand it, there's money to be had here for us to fix this. Is that right?
Brian, we were able to secure record funding for Louisiana, particularly for the Capital Region. We're looking at about $3 billion in new flood protection investments, not just these projects like the Comete project, but a really important one for our region is known as the Baton Rouge Area Flood Control Project. This one provides about $250 million for work that's really sort of our urban flood control or drainage to benefit kind of getting water off the streets and out of our yards during those floods. It's going to do work in the northern part of the parish, in Beaver Bayou and Blackwater Bayou, and in the southern part of the parish, in Ward Creek, Jones Creek, and Bayou Fountain, designed to enlarge the canals, do concrete revetments, but ultimately focused on evacuating the water out of our region at a faster pace to where it gets out of the streets and into the Gulf of Mexico much faster.
Congressman Garrett Graves is our guest. What are you working on right now?
You know, this week we're spending a good bit of time on infrastructure. We're focused on aviation. We're still working on some of the Boeing 737 MAX safety issues. We have a hearing today on trucking industry and infrastructure associated with getting products around the country. We have another meeting we're doing on transportation bill, trying to put a new transportation bill together to help move us in a direction to getting a new bridge and addressing a lot of the problems we have in Louisiana. We have a climate change hearing tomorrow. We're working on five different appropriations bills and expected to have votes, I think, till about 11 o'clock tonight. So kind of juggling a few different things right now.
Talk about, if you could, sorry, I want to shift gears one more time because something popped up that I saw on Twitter. You were talking with the America's Small Business Advocate, the NSBA, yesterday about transparency and healthcare costs. I know I'm completely shifting gears with no segue here, but what are you doing and what are you working on in regards to that?
You know, Brian, there's this story from a number of years ago with our son where I went to the hospital and I paid my hospital copay and didn't have any idea what they had charged us. Went back later and looked, and they had charged us like $9,000. Well, charged our insurance company $9,000. And I was really just shocked because they charged us for all sorts of things that didn't happen. And so we ended up having a discussion with the insurance company, the hospital, and they refunded a bunch of money to the insurance company. But, you know, Brandon, had I not gone back and looked at this bill, then no one would have realized what had happened. And so we've got to improve the transparency and healthcare costs. We've been working on that to help do that. I mean, look, there's nothing you do in your life where you go say, hey, give me some of these and don't have any concept of how much it's going to cost, how much you're going to end up paying. But in healthcare and prescription drugs, that's exactly what happens. And that lack of transparency, I think, provides for sort of mischievous behavior and unethical practices that we've seen from some, and let's be clear, not all, but some of the drug companies and other healthcare providers, as it happened with that hospital that we took our child to. And so we've got to improve that transparency. And then the other thing on the drug cost is just continuing to work to get more generic drug options out there and possibly allow us to import drugs from Canada, from European countries and others that are charging in some cases 1/50th of the price for prescription drugs. I'm all for patent protection and allowing intellectual properties to be protected and innovation, but some of these practices are very egregious and just really jamming Americans who have healthcare problems and making solutions or cures inaccessible, and that's just not right.
This sounds like it dovetails a lot with what Senator Cassidy's been working on at surprise billing.
It is similar. We actually started working on this issue back in 2014 and 2015. We've been able to make some administrative progress, getting some of the agencies to require more transparency, trying to eliminate some of these hidden fees that are there that really are, again, some of these bad actors just playing the system and taking advantage of these veils or being able to hide behind some of this lack of transparency. But certainly, again, making progress. Just have a long way to go to help further reduce healthcare costs,
especially when it comes to something like healthcare, because questioning the cost are never your first priority. Getting you or your loved one healthy is your first and only priority.
Oh, look, I mean, you know how it is. You'd give your arm to you know, take care of your child, your spouse, yeah. Friends and relatives, and certainly whenever you see some of these just really unfair, and like I said, I think it just immoral, unethical practices of some of the drug companies and other providers, it's just wrong. And I think that the way to one of the sunshine on it and helping folks to see what's really going on, improve transparency.
Congressman Garrett Graves, we are straight up out of time. We will talk to you next week. Appreciate it, man.
Brian, thank you. Take care.
Thanks. 750, let's get you to Your Money Now. .756 to Talk 107.3 FM WBRP. Brian Haldane here with you for just a few more minutes, and thank you for joining me this morning. We got Brian Kilmeade coming your way next hour. Kilmeade threw out on Twitter a question that I don't know if I wanted to delve into here, but the U.S. Women's National Team won 13-0 yesterday against against Thailand. And he was saying, Kilmeade was saying, it's poor sportsmanship to run up the score like that. And on an average day, I would say, if you're talking about children, yes. But you're talking about grown-ups. This is the national team. We're not talking about fifth and sixth graders or younger. We're talking about the national team. Now, the flip side of that is it's Thailand. I mean, that's basically a non-conference game, if you will. I know it still counts. It's still, you know, part of the overall thing, but it's Thailand. Is there something to be – it's not like it's a rival, I guess, is where I'm going with that. I don't know. 13-0. Is it poor sportsmanship? I don't think so. And they're grown-ups. They know what they're doing. At a certain point, you don't need a mercy rule. I'm all about a mercy rule for kids. There's no reason to keep your foot on their throat. But for grown-ups – we're good here. Hey, I'm shifting gears. Got about 2 minutes left, and I wanted to touch on this story. I don't know if you've seen it at WBRZ. A video captures tension between a trash pickup employee and a customer in Baton Rouge. A viewer sent in the exchange to WBRZ. He says it's between him and a Republic Services employee. The viewer says he told an employee they missed his trash can en route, and the employee responded with a middle finger. This happened in the Shenandoah neighborhood where residents have been complaining about a delay in trash pickup. The person who sent the video to WBRZ did not want to be identified. Imagine that, but he's going to put the trash collector on blast. His face is published all over town now, right? We all get to see him and his middle finger. Well, the middle finger is actually blurred out. But the accuser gets to remain anonymous. Oh, there's a lot of boldness in anonymity, is there not? So the person who sent the video to WBRZ did not want to be identified, but frustrated neighbors said missed pickups continue to happen. Quote, I'm disappointed. I wish they would get to it, said Gene Guffey. Guffey set out trash bags full of yard waste in front of his home 2 weeks ago. The bags are still sitting there untouched. Look, I get it that we've got problems when it comes to this. I see it in my neighborhood all the time. Missed pickups aren't a thing for the normal trash can, but the big pickups, we're supposed to get those weekly. I do see that a lot, and I see a lot of the whip back of trash that falls out of the trash cans, bags ripping open and just spraying all over the street. That's happened from time to time, too. But is this the right way to handle it? By publicly putting someone on blast like this, someone who it's probably like, there's no guarantee that the collector on Tuesday was the same collector the previous Tuesday. There's no guarantee of that. And, oh, by the way, he's in pickup, not customer service. If you're looking for your friendly person to serve you, don't ask the guy who's flinging the garbage into the back of the truck. Brian Kilmeade's next.